We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, everyone. It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
My guy.
Glasses hey, Malone.
Man, what's happening, dog?
Welcome back, brother.
Crying, laughing, man.
What happened,
it's
G?
It's been eventful, dog.
You just walked in.
No. This trip to New York. Every time I come to New York, the trip be eventful.
Okay.
My Toro caught a flat.
Your rental?
Yeah, my Toro, right?
So why you calling it a Toro?
That's what it is, Toro. You rent it off a Toro.
Toro. Toro is like a Toro ride.
It's not big here, but it's Toro is big everywhere.
Got you.
So it's like, so when we got here, as soon as we got off the airplane, right, we got off of LaGuardia, so we get to Toro, pick up the car. The car is sketchy because the man didn't change it in the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
So he went from a 2020 Camry to a 2017 Elantra.
Okay.
You notice a difference.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to turn the lights on. I ain't used to getting in cars that the lights don't automatically come on at this point.
Right.
As soon as we leave and we go into Queens to eat at this little barbecue spot, the police pull us over, have us for 30 minutes.
Damn.
So I'm just thinking this whole trip, it's just been crazy. I'm like, as soon as we get pulled over, right, the man asking us all kind of questions, like, what y'all doing in New York? I was like, man, I'm coming to do some press and this, that, and the third. So we telling him we come from the airport. I showed the man the ticket and everything. The man just talking to me, cousin. I'm like, yeah, man, we just came in. He like, you know, y'all got something in the luggage? Nigga, we had to be the greatest international smugglers in the world to get it from the airport.
Yeah.
So we get there, we finally eat, bam, we go to the Airbnb.
So cool. They let y'all go with what?
Yeah, but it took 30 minutes.
What was the reason? He didn't say?
The lights wasn't on in the car.
Oh, yeah. Said the lights was
on.
Right.
You got you.
Yeah, but it was just weird. Then the next day, we going to meet up with a homie, my homeboy Trey, that writing stuff for The Athletic and New York Times. He a writer for sports and stuff, Trey Edwards. The Toro catches flat when we coming through the Lincoln Tunnel.
Mm.
So then we stuck on 55th and, what's that, 55th and like, probably like 5th Avenue, just parked on the street in front of Dunkin' Donuts for like 4 hours.
Maybe that was a sign to get some donuts.
I know, we went and got some steak.
Okay.
And then I went to my favorite steakhouse. Then I went to my favorite steakhouse in New York, Del Frisco's. They wouldn't let us in with sweats.
Yeah, Del Fresco shades up. Yeah, no more sweats.
It was 2019, so I'm like, damn. So we can't eat at my favorite. So we go to another steakhouse, and it was cool. And we waited on the people from Turo, so we reported the whole shit, and they sent the roadside assistance. And by the time the roadside assistance had come, it's 8 hours. The tire shop is 2 blocks.
Yeah, you could have just drove 2 blocks and got it fixed yourself.
Well, not on a flat tire.
Nail. They could have ran it on a nail.
So then I didn't know the address changed. It's just been an eventful New York.
Yeah. Oh, you went to the old address this morning?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was it boarded up?
Yeah, it was weird. You couldn't get in. It had a weird door to the lobby. And the man was like, yeah, they left in January.
Oh, we've been going.
We've been going.
I don't know why the producer didn't tell you that.
It's all good. It's just been one of them New York trips.
Well, we happy to have you here, Jim.
Absolutely. Glad to be here,
minus all the bullshit.
Hey, man, it's all good. This is what I'm still. I got
cancel these nuts
here.
Is
there
out.
You go. Hey, here you go.
Okay.
Yeah, hold up.
Why are you still doing physical CDs, Gina?
I
already bought 10 of these.
I have them for you right now, too.
Okay.
Hold up. I got something for you, Envy Special. Cause look at this right here. Yeah.
No. Oh, that's dope.
Why are you still doing this, G? Why still CDs?
So as an independent, right, you sell 4,000 copies. I sell mine's autographed at $25. That's how you do your business. Simple as that.
Got you.
Everything else with streaming is good. You know what I mean? But that's a royalty. You still got to sell music. My music good enough, though.
Yeah.
I really believe my shit good enough to sell, so I'll be selling this, though.
And it's called Cancel These Nuts.
Yeah.
Well, explain that title.
It's pretty
self-explanatory. Yeah.
Well, you know, I mean, you talk to me enough to know I don't really give. I'm honest with what I think.
Yeah.
I'm not really intimidated. I feel like the industry, you know, the powers that be didn't make me, so they can't break me and they can't take what I'm saying. So I'm just saying all the stuff I want to say.
I think cancel culture is on its last legs anyway. I actually think it's over, because I think people finally realize that it's all a circular firing squad. So you may shoot at that person today, but then it's going to come around to your turn eventually.
Absolutely.
So you feel like it's only being because they're like, I don't want nobody to remember
exactly.
I did this shit.
Yeah, I think everybody's like, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to contradict myself. I know I probably got some bullshit that people could bring up too. And if you hold everybody to the same standard, it's only a matter of time before it's either you or somebody you really, really fuck with that they calling to get canceled. So which side you going to be on? Mm.
Yeah, we definitely in a space where I think everything is starting to be just obviously true.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know what I mean? I remember 5 years ago, Jada and Will was goals.
Mm-hmm.
That shit spoiled like milk. Now nobody know what to do. So I think cancel culture is the same thing. I think all the ideas was never nothing permanent anyway.
Right? Yeah.
That's why I kind of don't really get on trends like that.
But I think what you're saying is, you know, everybody has this vision of perfection. Whether it was Jada and Will, they had a vision of perfection. Whether it's the way we supposed to move as a society, it's a vision of perfection. Nothing's perfect.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, how do we start at that place how do we get started with there? Mm-hmm. I was just having this whole conversation about the same thing. Like, there's no way possible, especially women chase that specific thing, perfection. And it's no way possible. So even setting somebody else as a goal is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I was just listening to this shit Jay-Z was saying. He was like, 500,000. He was like, yeah, I just take the 500,000. Jay-Z said that about Jay-Z for the 500,000.
Yep.
And I was like, damn, yeah, well, the truth is coming. It's like my time.
Yeah.
It's a good time to be alive for me. You know what I mean? It's honest. Niggas telling the truth.
Well, you always been truthful, though. You always been
honest.
That's
what I'm saying. But at that time, the world wasn't really, like, you know, accepting to the truth. Last time I was here, niggas was threatening my life over a song.
Yeah, well, you did Tupac Must Die song.
Yeah, and I was like, why are you mad at me for telling the truth? It was another nigga that made the song. He made a song that was like some kind of crazy Tupac conspiracy idea about soul and the Illuminati and shit. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching his interview. He was like, man, this guy stole my song. And I was like, I never heard of him. And in the interview, he's like, yeah, you know, well, if glasses, you know, in his story, that don't even make sense. Who ever heard a story like that? I bet you that nigga somewhere looking like, oh, shit.
But you had firsthand knowledge of the situation.
Not only just firsthand knowledge, it was just common knowledge amongst everybody in the streets in L.A. We all knew in real time what was going on.
Well, you shouldn't have put it in the song. You should have sat down with Vlad TV and told the story.
No. Keefe.
What's your thoughts on the Keefe situation?
Keefe is crazy, man. I'm praying for him. You know what I mean? He in a tough situation. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough as a motherfucker. You know what I mean? You got to fight a case, but I'm sure you're going to get attorney, good representation. And I doubt that a lot of the interviews is something they could really use. I'm interested to see the discovery, to see what they really have as far as evidence.
Are they using this book in those interviews?
Yeah,
I need to see it. Yeah, you got to make that work.
Because Vlad said they even reached out to him To get the raw footage.
Cuz was on the news. He was like, yeah, you know, my interviews. I was like, this nigga is tripping.
He need a Peabody. I already told you that.
That is true. As a journalist,
yes,
for sure.
Yeah, journalist.
Yes.
As a journalist.
Now, why has it been 8 years since Glass House 2? Glass House 2 was your last album.
Yeah. Same mission, man. Mm-hmm. When I first started figuring all this stuff out, I was learning hip-hop last time I saw y'all. You know what I mean? Before the last time, mm-hmm. I was just figuring it all out. Same thing, figuring it all out. And taking my time, getting back into the space to make sure I can make something that represented where we was at as far as the ghetto in general. Mm-hmm. And there's so many... Where street urban culture at as a whole is in such a funky place to where, like, you could like a rapper, dog, and he'll be your guy and he'd be busting. He got all the cuts. But then he'll do some hoe-ass shit, and then you'll be stuck with him. Some shit that don't represent you. Like, you might like this rapper, right? And then cuz gonna just wear some fingernail polish.
But stop looking for perfection. You can't. The same way we can't look for perfection in Jade and Will or people in your street shit, you can't look for perfection.
I don't know if that
But you
would
can still be a street dude
to
wear fingernail polish, though.
No.
Why not?
Because that's not cool.
To me.
Well, first of all, I hate the street conversation because I think the street shit is silly. But sure. If you the ultimate... Street nigga.
Thug. Killer.
Took out all your ops.
That's not what being
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
You just took out all your ops.
This motherfucker will always go the furthest extreme.
You got all the kilos of coke. You got it. Sure. You got it on lock. Sure. But you got painted fingernails.
Does that make you soft?
Nobody who got all the cocaine will paint their fingernails.
Why not?
It's a new day and age, guys.
That's not what it is. That's not what it is. If you like this rapper, right, he wearing a dress. Or if you like this rapper, he wearing a purse. It's like they know it. Y'all don't really believe in your heart that it's something going on.
But the street dudes who wear dresses.
And the street dudes that wear purses.
I don't know street dudes that wear dresses ever.
This new generation different.
It's not the generation.
Glasses, you don't see people, men wearing purses all the time?
No. Only niggas that follow rap. I've never been to a ghetto and niggas was wearing purses. You can't go to one borough. You can't go to Monk's Corner, even in the country or any ghetto, and niggas is walking around with purses. Where is this happening?
Well, I ain't been into the hood in a long time, so I don't know what they're doing. But... So I mean, he did, and they had the purse, and they had a Glock in there ready to bust.
They would be a girl with a gun. Girls got guns.
So girls can't be street?
Yes, they okay. are, but it's a girl
you
she wearing a purse.
You can be a non-binary street nigga, G.
No, non-binary
you can't. Yes, you can,
no. Look, you got to think eventually that it's a reason they doing this.
Yeah.
This ain't as simple as, I just felt I wanted. Come on, man. No man wakes up wanting to just wear a purse. That is, we've never saw a purse like, man, that's nice. I want that. That don't even connect. So, again, we be in these weird spaces where we just, again, we still kind of just be fibbing. I can't go to no ghetto and every man is walking around with a purse. It's still going to be a selective few who trying to go against the grain based off of what they saw somebody else
do. So, what is a street dude in 2023?
Anybody that grew up in street urban culture. It don't mean you have to be a criminal. It's just, it raised you. You know, really, religion and street ethics are the only thing that create morality. Regular people don't have morals. It's just they go by laws. Mm. They don't really have no morals.
I don't think street people have morals anymore.
Of course they do. If you from the street, you don't have no choice because you got to be, whatever you say, it's going to come with accountability.
Mm-hmm. I get what Envy's saying. I feel like they used to have a morals. Certain amount of principles. I don't know if I would call it moral. I would say principles in the street. I don't know if those principles still
I think morals and ethics too.
Because there's certain things that wouldn't happen
right.
back in the day.
But again, everything always happened back in the day, right? But it was also, I think we keep confusing what we're seeing on social media as the streets. And it's not. That's the truth. That's not the streets. Social media is a completely different place that you can go and do anything. So when I talk to my homeboys, it's the same thing. There ain't no nigga talking about, guys, I just got this Gucci purse. Not one ghetto. I don't care if I call my guys
in
Atlanta.
They know how you feel about it.
It's not me. See, that's how he did that.
They know how you feel about
no, you. Listen, that is not true. Nobody is wearing a purse. Why would a man wear a purse?
They got man purses. What do they call it? The one that goes across your strap? Yeah, the man bag.
A satchel?
Satchel.
It's not a purse. It's a satchel.
We'll call it a satchel.
That's not, no. They
maybe
actually
a Gucci
be
satchel?
Wearing, no, they be wearing purses. Mm-hmm. Like designer purses. Mm-hmm. Or fingernail polish. Or... dresses.
They wearing Birkins and I
or
seen,
telling. Yeah. It's like telling. Like
telling
we can't
what?
Even come
what brand
to
is that?
Snitching.
Oh,
telling
what brand is that?
Is that a new brand? This guy is crazy.
Man, facts.
But it seems like it's so normal right now People accept this.
But talk about, why do we act like, first of all, snitching ain't normal. I mean, snitching ain't new. I don't know a time when they haven't.
It's normalized now, though.
It's normalized now. It's always been normal.
No, it hasn't.
Again, what's going on the internet ain't, like, hip-hop really used to be a representation of what was going on in the community. Mm-hmm. At this point, it's like removed. Like, I don't know. It's not the same. I agree, right? People have always snitched. And back in the day, niggas used to have, like, shame. Like, you didn't just die for snitching. You moved off and you realized the street life wasn't for you. Mm-hmm. Some people got killed. Some people got beat up in stitches and all that. But for the most part, you know, people used to just move off.
Right.
They would just go off into the yonder and realize, go by the Andre, change his name. He ain't Big Dre no more. He Andre. He just some regular nigga living his life, working at the factory. Now niggas will be in the midst of shit still right then and there. The only thing that's changed is niggas don't have shame no more. Shame is missing.
Mm-hmm.
So snitching has always happened, right? But it used to come with accountability. It wouldn't be like in Gunna's situation, he wouldn't be around this motherfucker flaunting around like, hey, I'm gonna go do concerts, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna showcase myself, blah, 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 blah. He'd be like, all right, let me go sit my ass down, let me not talk tough. You know what I mean? Obviously, this is not cut out for me. Now it's like, okay, well, the average everyday person don't really care, so I can still make my money. So they don't even care about what's going on, like, their reputation. They just like, well, fuck it.
You don't think Gunna getting a bad rap because the person that he allegedly told on hasn't said that. And his dad, Thug's dad, even said Gunna didn't do anything that would hurt Thug's case.
That's just a lie. It's just not true. If the whole premise of your case is built off of, if the whole charge is you are running a record label that's a gang.
YSL is a gang.
And somebody says, yes, it is a gang. It's obvious. It's not even like, one of my young homies, my young homie Rail, he was like, oh man, you know, I need to see paperwork. Bro, it's on tape.
But it's obvious. They said they were a gang in records and stuff.
But you have to deny it. That's the point of it. So, right, you have to deny it when it's a legal charge. So when he was like, yes, are you saying that YSL is a street? Yes, ma'am. That's telling.
So Thug's father saying him, what Gunna said had nothing to do, did not hurt their case in no way.
It's not about does it hurt the case. Let's say if you get on the stand and you point somebody out and you tell the truth, but they disregard your testimony. Nigga, you still a snitch. That don't have nothing to do with what happened to him. You, Gunna should be walking somewhere, doing a walk of shame, somewhere sitting off making gospel rap something.
But didn't everybody in that case do the same thing?
I don't have the video.
Yeah, they had plenty of videos.
No,
yes,
remember,
they did.
Remember, the Gunna video was different because the nigga snuck to get it. That would have never.
They had a video for all of those YSL dudes.
I didn't see them.
Yeah.
No,
yeah,
I seen the one specifically right here. But the thing is, I don't know none of the rest of them people.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope the rest of them people ain't just walking around Atlanta. If they told on that man, if they ain't walking around Atlanta like, oh, you know, hey, I'm back in the streets thugging.
So what if Thug comes out and Thug said he didn't tell on me?
I don't give a fuck if Jesus come down himself and say, that is telling. I'm wise enough and smart enough to know exactly what telling is. That's telling.
But Gunna Music still jamming, though.
Yeah, I'm not. Listen, man, if you give a rat a microphone on the New York streets, he might make some dope records. I'm not knocking it. I'm saying he don't even have shame. Like, nigga, make gospel rap.
Well, let me ask you a question. So does that mean other rappers, other street rappers, should not do songs with him or support him because of who he claims to be and who he is?
I think a lot
who
of people.
Who does Gunna claim to be, though? I'm confused.
Well,
like,
Crip first. That was the first problem. That was my first.
Oh, I didn't know he was that.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, it's Crip. He was like neighborhood. But now it's like, that looked crazy. But I think for most street rappers, they trying to change their life. So they may not maintain the same ethics. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So everybody got to make their own decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't piss on him if he was on fire.
Damn. You know what I mean? I like Gunna. But I ain't in the street, so.
Yeah. And it's not to say what
and most people that listen to hip hop aren't.
Yeah. I'm not mad at them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not telling the general population.
He sold out two shows. He sold out a show in New York, sold out a show in LA.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. But why would the average everyday person care about morals?
Street morals.
Not even street morals. This is something, if we had a job and we had this job and a motherfucker came and stole something and then somebody told they stole, you'd be mad at they snitching ass too. This is not
depend what they stole.
Even no matter what they stole, if you took something and somebody told on you, you gonna look at that person crazy.
No, I'm not. I shouldn't have stolen from that person.
That's true, but that don't change. That don't change that this person particularly. Like,
no, because I stole. I know I did something wrong. I can't be mad at the person for pointing out that I did something wrong. I did something wrong.
Of course you can't if y'all did it together.
But that's different.
That's what you
ain't say
about.
That now. But that's we still, what we're talking about. That's different. Mm-hmm. If we stole something together, and then he went and told on me like he didn't do it, that's a different ball.
That's what happened, and that's what snitching is all about. Snitching, really simply put, man, it's getting out of control. It's when a criminal tells on a crime to avoid accountability for their own crime. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of other shit we could talk about. We could start breaking it down to all the nuances of street, but really snitching don't have nothing to do with like thugging or blah, blah, blah. It's about accountability. Mm-hmm. Street life in general is more about accountability and masculinity than everything. Being responsible, saying what you mean, meaning what you say, standing by what you said. Mm-hmm. It's accountability. It's not this ignorant kind of concept. It's primitive at times, mm-hmm. but it's not ignorant. It's all about accountability. So
with that said, me and you commit a crime together.
Sure.
I'm sitting in my cell. I have a revelation. Now I want to hold myself accountable.
Yeah.
So I decide to say, hey, Glasses, I'm telling on both of us. I think we need to hold each other accountable. I didn't have that revelation. No, but I did for both of us.
No.
Or Charlamagne has talked about it before. He was driving in the car with his homies.
Yeah.
He got pulled over. One of his homies had something illegal.
They had cocaine on them.
Charlamagne didn't know it was in the car.
I had no idea.
Sure.
Charlamagne's tells.
Is this that not working with Wendy Williams? No. I didn't tell. I'm in the back seat of the car. And the cop.
Charlamagne said, you better tell or I'm going to tell.
Exactly. He handed over his license and registration. And inside the license and registration, he had 3 grams of cocaine. I didn't know. So I'm talking shit to the police, really cracking jokes, whatever. The police, like, put your hand behind your back. I'm like, oh, shit, what I done said, that went too far. We found cocaine. I'm like, cocaine? Who had cocaine? And the cop was like, whose is it? I said, well, it's not mine. So let's use the process of elimination. It's one of these two individuals, okay?
I mean, look, was y'all doing lines?
No, I ain't never.
Was your goal to do lines?
We do what?
Was y'all goal to do lines at night?
I didn't even know he had no cocaine. No.
Okay, so listen. So, right. So look, if you're not thugging or if you're not in any street life, this is just simple street life, then it don't have nothing to do with you. And really, your partner should be like, this is mine.
Absolutely.
Right? So
he waited until we got to the jail to do it, which is too late then.
He thought about it on the way down.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Oh, no, Charlamagne was like, either you going to tell him or I'm going to tell him. That's probably what happened.
Accountability.
See?
Yeah. So, yeah, but if me and my homeboy, let's say if I'm with Joey, right, if I'm with Joey Westside, and I know he not thugging, and I got a gun, it's going to be my gun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let him get in trouble for my gun.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just being a man. That's all street life is about in general. Even whether you're a criminal or not, it's just about being a man and standing up for all of the right things.
You don't ever get tired of being in the street, G?
No.
Why?
I mean, it's not being anywhere, right? Like, my conduct is consistent with the upbringing, right? Mm-hmm. Why would I change my moral code? For what? Like, I walk in the Breakfast Club, or if I walk anywhere, what's the point of, what am I changing my moral code to? Like, the only next thing is, like, religion. Mm-hmm. Like, where else would I go? Like, mm-hmm. I wouldn't want to be a regular person. Motherfuckers is the scum of the fucking earth.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't stand by nothing. You know, people mistreat each other. They say mean shit to each other. You could be driving, motherfucker, be like, shut up, and call you crazy. The tow truck man that was in the Uber called a nigga a bitch. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to.
So you telling me that a man that calls somebody, a woman, a bitch, don't have no morals?
Yeah, if you call, no, a man, he called another man a bitch.
If you call a woman a bitch, what that's,
I don't know. That's, you, I'm probably lost. Gonna know.
The man called a woman a bitch, or he called another dude a bitch?
A man called a man a bitch. So it was a man hitting a U-turn, and you know how New York motherfuckers are driving the shit. So it was a man in a carriage, and he hit a U-turn in front of the tow truck, and the motherfucker was like, "Yeah, you know, you bitch ass motherfucker, and you know your driver don't know how to drive." And it's like, see that, like, where I come from, you call a man another man a bitch, you better be ready to fight. Mm. And I think in regular life, if you hit a motherfucker for calling them a bitch, they'd be like, oh, you know, they'll call the police. Like, I didn't put my hands on you.
But what about calling a woman a bitch? Because that woman is somebody's sister, somebody's wife, somebody's daughter. So what if that man want to fight you because you called they woman a bitch?
That's the point. You got to take the fact, right? You squabble.
Okay.
So it's all about.
Nobody want to squabble, though. Like, so you call that man a bitch, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that man comes and snuff you. You call the police and he gets arrested. And now you press charges. There's no morals.
That's what I'm saying.
Why is that no morals?
You can't because call me a bitch, and then when I react to you calling me a bitch and punch you in the face, now you be like, 911, what's your emergency? He punched me in the face. You started.
Yes. But you,
if you don't want no action, I agree with
that. But that don't mean I still reserve the right to call 911.
No, you don't.
That's with you.
Why would you? And see, that's what I'm saying.
Like, I agree with him.
In that middle, like, so, like, religious people, morally, the goal is to be here. The streets is here. Regular people don't really have no moral. They don't have no true sense of accountability.
I agree with what Envy just said, not because of the street shit. And I agree with what you're saying, but not because of the street shit. Just because I like to see people have to deal with the consequences of their action.
That's what the streets
teach. So if you punch me in the face, you got to deal with the consequences of that action.
But that's
regardless of what it is. Like, if I call you a bitch, I got to deal with that.
Sure.
If you punch me in the face, now you got to deal with whatever that comes
correct.
With.
Correct.
And it might come with me calling 911.
But nowadays, you have to know that if Charlamagne or somebody's calling you a bitch, it's usually a setup, right? Because they want to set you up to punch you in the face, and then what usually happens? They're going to arrest you. They're going to miss work for 9 months. They're going to sue
ain't
you.
True.
That's what most
I'm
people
just
do.
Hoping you're not doing that. I'm hoping you don't do nothing. I'm hoping I can get. That's the thing, right? Everybody hope they can do some shit and hope nobody
and
reacts.
Not be accountable.
And not be held accountable. Yeah,
so,
yeah,
so when you ask me about it's not being in the streets is not like a location, right? It's a conduct. It's a way you act. It's a way you really is rooted in masculinity and accountability. It's being responsible. I can
but
make
you can,
my
you
album.
Can be a man and, no, you and, can. And have accountability without being in the street.
No.
Yeah.
But when you say being in the streets, that's where you get the sense of accountability from. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm not selling sherm on 117th Street no more, right? But the conduct still remains the same. Mm-hmm. I didn't assimilate into mainstream. I didn't become successful and change my life and then start, okay, well, I'ma still enjoy Gunna's music even though he don't have no shame and he told on that man. Like, that don't change. My conduct, my codes, my moral, my behavior, the moral compass doesn't change.
You got a song on the new album called Kanye Should Have Never Married That Bitch.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Talk to us bad? About that record. What do you mean is that bad, G?
Is that really bad?
Yes, that's bad.
Why?
You calling this the mother of his child a bitch.
Now, if Kanye comes and swings on you, now what happens from there?
That's fair. We can line it up. It's a fair fade. Like, if he wanted to fade, if he called me like, Glass, I need that
now,
fade.
If he snuffs you, knocks you down, he's worth close to $1 billion.
I'm not suing him. First off, I'm going to get up and dust cuz off. Mm-hmm. Or he finna win. Either way, we finna fight. But the idea of the song was turning the hoe into a housewife. I just feel like in today's time.
Jesus, Glasses.
That's not that bad. Is that really that we didn't got that far?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't see the need to call her that.
Not what's the bitch or a hoe?
Both, man.
What?
Both, Glasses. That's that man's wife or ex-wife.
Jesus Christ. See, Snoop and them back in the day, it wasn't right when they did it, but they never put a name to it.
Why wasn't it right?
They never put a name to it. Like, they didn't label. Like, there was certain people like, you come on, G style. Like,
I'm
you
serious.
Can't just, you can't put a label on.
So you can't
people.
Call a ho-ho.
Maybe a generalization, but you can't say that person right there is a ho.
Why not? If they're a ho.
What if they not?
They are.
But they're not hoeing anymore.
What we got messed up at is we started referring to all women as
hoes, correct.
But we all knew all women wasn't hoes.
We didn't. We didn't say it enough.
No. We knew it, even if nobody else knew it. We knew all women wasn't hoes, but what's wrong with a girl if she's a hoe to call her a hoe?
Right, like, she's not a hoe anymore, though. Mm-hmm. But she's a mom and a housewife now, right? A businesswoman.
Well, I mean.
You could have said Kanye should have married that businesswoman.
If you get arrested for a felony and you go to prison, you get out of jail and you fill out the application, when they ask you, are you a felon, why can't you say, I'm not a felon anymore?
What facts. If I got pardoned?
Hmm?
What if I got pardoned?
Okay, well, who pardoned her? Give me the paperwork and I'll change. Give me the paperwork and I'll change it.
Oh, my God.
No,
Glass.
So listen. The idea, no, good look.
No, hold up. Man, Glass is no, so
Glass
crazy,
is so stupid, man.
But I'm so Glass serious, guys. Bad. No, this is a serious part. So we wrote the song, right? Don't You Can't Turn a Hoe Into a Housewife. That's the idea mm-hmm. of the song, right? Mm-hmm. And I just feel like we're in a weird time where people are really trying to wife whores. This is a big movement going on. It's a lot of really unstreet and unaccountable things, right? And it's like people are not accountable, so they're just doing anything. And so when we wrote the song, it's not specifically about them. Nobody was even thinking about Kanye or Kim when we wrote the music. We just wrote the music.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I'm just listening to the song and I'm like, damn, you know, the idea of the song was called That Bitch, right? That bitch belonged to the streets. But I was thinking about it. We're in such a time where nobody is actually, like, it's hard for people to put a face to an idea because it's so far out of their wheelhouses every day. And I was like, damn, who going through something that proves and validates this idea?
Mm-hmm.
And Kanye, just look at his situation.
Well, I guess everybody has a past, is what I would say.
Sure.
Men but, and women.
But so. We don't get to say we not that no more.
But you could also say that maybe
if you go to prison and you get two felonies, for the rest of your life, you're a felon.
That's like that's saying nobody can evolve. So Malcolm X wasn't always Malcolm Little. I mean, Malcolm Little didn't stay Malcolm Little. He became Malcolm X.
Totally agree.
So you can definitely evolve and change.
Do we think Kim evolved?
Hell yeah.
No, she didn't.
100%.
No, she didn't.
From 10 years ago?
No, she didn't.
How do we don't know, you know, because we don't know the situation. That might have been Kanye might have been the problem in that relationship. She might have wanted to be a housewife.
The problem was when you first went into that relationship with that lady. It's a lot of stuff going on with women, man. You got to be really careful when you just jump out there. And obviously, he wasn't listening to the Dr. Dre's album like he should have been. What, he would have knew that. Any of them. Snoop Dogg's album. You can't turn a hoe into a housewife. These are simple things. Simple truths.
I think there's a lot of hoes that have been turned into housewives. I actually think sometimes in a lot of ways, hoes make the best housewives. Because just like people who've been in the street, they done been there, done that, and they don't want to do that no more. So they evolve, and now they you would never know. There's somebody married to a woman right now and had no idea Glasses and them Crips was running trains on her and Watts in the 90s. Right now.
No.
I don't believe that.
No, but it's again, the concept is just really simple. And obviously, you see it went down in flames. It went down in flames. It's not... Again, it's not. I don't want to sound like I'm being harsh to Kim or even.
But it seemed like I'm not. I don't know whose fault it was. Sure. But it could have been Kanye's fault that it went down.
Sure.
I think that's what you were trying to say.
Yeah. I'm not blaming her. It's just a bad idea. Like you got to get somebody that's a little bit more plausible for the job.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that was the correct plausible person for the job. Her life was shaped to be something completely different. But sometimes like ever since I've been talking about the song, it's been more or less about Kim Kardashian, my like or dislike for Kim Kardashian, and that's just not true. I love Kim Kardashian.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as much as you could love somebody you don't know that you don't have to really have a lot of respect for. She was, you know, again. No, because...
Okay. Glasses got a podcast called No Ceilings, y'all.
That's
y'all,
back
y'all if y'all enjoying this, y'all should listen to it.
No, but this is the point, because everybody would be thinking I'm crazy. She was sucking Ray J dick on tape.
Jesus.
That don't mean anything.
That matters.
That just meant somebody had a camera out.
No, she actually recorded, then they sold the video.
That's a hustle. That's a hustle, G.
Come on, man.
How you mad at this woman for hustling?
I'm not mad at her. I totally understand. I have the utmost respect for prostitutes, porn stars, and anybody else that's hustling. But let's actually call it what it is.
Most men that get with a woman, they're not getting a virgin, G.
Come on, man.
It's just the truth. They're not getting a virgin, whether it's on tape or not on tape.
Kim is far from a virgin, man. Like, do we got to go that far?
But a
virgin?
I mean, every woman has a path.
Can we just start with not sucking dick on tape?
Jesus
Christ. Can we just start with not sucking dick on tape?
In this day and age, it's kind of hard not to get caught.
See? See what he think of women?
Everybody pulling their phones out. This new generation got it rough, G.
This is why I stay street.
I see.
Because you have to have some moral compass and code of behavior, because look where we at.
Yeah, see.
Like you like, oh, now the only pool of women is who sucking dick on tape.
Now.
I know, look, and it's a woman. So this is what's bothering me, because I had to look at her face.
Right.
Because I don't want her to think like I'm like some kind of he-man woman hater, but it's like.
It's too late.
If we start with sucking dick on tape.
I get what you're saying.
This woman has not sucked nobody dick on tape, and we seen the video.
What woman?
This lady.
Oh.
So I don't want her to think
like
I'm just saying, I don't want her to think that. I'm saying we got to at least start with not sucking dick on tape. You okay, can we not wife who's sucking dick on tape?
That shouldn't be a disqualifier.
Yes, it's yes, okay, it
so,
should.
Okay, so what if the woman is giving fellatio and doesn't know that she's being recorded?
Totally. Secretly recorded,
listen. The exception is not the rule. She knew she was being recorded. She was performing. And then they sold the tape for money. Kanye's kids, his daughter gonna have to see that.
Yeah.
His daughter gonna see this interview and be like, this man calling my mother out her name. And that's not what it is. Mm-hmm. Young lady and young man, that's not what it is. They do this thing and don't think for tomorrow. Back to the streets. They teach you accountability. Everything you do, you remember this shit is going to matter.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody else in regular life, sucking dick on tape, you will not think how that's going to bother you, because they don't fucking got no morals. Who the fuck would suck dick on tape and think like later on, cry like I sucked dick on tape and everybody saw it.
What about people who secretly get taped sucking?
He just said.
The exception is not the rule.
There's some people out there that we've seen. I don't want to bring no names up. But.
Yeah, but you can't sell it, right? If you sell it, you'll get sued. Like, mm-hmm. This is way past just sucking dick on tape. Like, yes, most women probably suck dick. Most women probably have gay fellatio, right?
That's fellatio. That's the best, by the way.
Right? So most women have, right? But they also not doing it on tape.
Correct.
And then if they did it on tape, they not selling it for money. Because they
think
they're
making
themselves.
The best out of a bad situation. Beyonce said, turn lemons into lemonade, G.
What was the bad situation?
She got caught sucking dick on tape.
Who got caught?
Kim and
they taped. They made recorded it.
Or whatever it was, but then they ended up selling it.
Right.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Nothing, but then why is it wrong when I'm saying you sucking dick on tape?
No, it's nothing wrong with saying
it. I don't think they got caught. They sold it. That's how everybody saw it.
Yes.
No, I thought it got leaked and then they did it.
No, they sold it.
They sold it.
Anyway, let's move on.
Let me ask you a question. So I didn't hear the album yet, but I see Notorious B.I.G. on the album.
Yeah, yeah.
That a new verse, old verse?
No, that's a hook.
It's a hook.
Oh, it's a hook. Okay. I didn't hear it.
It's called The Loke. It's dope.
Okay.
The Loke. It's a really dope song. It's really dope. At 110, I feel like Big Daddy Kane rapping at that BPM. You can relate. Mm-hmm. A lot of Kane shit. The 110, 112.
110, 112.
Yeah,
sir. More money, more problems.
Feel me? Thinking I'm up there like Chubb Rock. You know, I closed with Chubb Rock. That was the feel of the song. So I felt like such a hip-hop vet doing that.
Gotcha.
Just good.
I wanted to ask you about something you sent to the group chat the other day. You said that Machiavelli album and Snoop's Doggy Style.
Dogfather.
Dogfather, I'm sorry. Snoop's Dogfather are the same album.
Every time I come here, we be in some shit. So let's go right to it. Mm-hmm. Let's not even front. If Tupac doesn't pass away, Machiavelli would be considered what Dogfather is. Because you would have been coming off such high production, high value production, high value everything. What happens to somebody really shaped the market. What happened to Tupac shaped the marketing and how we received the next album. You know what I mean? Snoop didn't have the benefit of that. Dre skipped on. DJ Pooh, me and DJ Pooh even talked about it. And he was talking about how much he had to, how hard it was working on that album, how much they didn't get to do certain things. And then Snoop got the utmost criticism for it. But imagine if Machiavelli follows All Eyes on Me and Tupac is Alive, and it doesn't have How Do You Want It. It doesn't have the success of California Love, two number one songs. It don't have the Johnny J production because him and Pac had fell out at that point. It doesn't have Dr. Dre because now Dr. Dre is gone and you dissing him. And now we can listen to your disses and judge whether or not we think it's okay. So I think they're almost like the same style of album as far as the way they will follow such huge, huge releases.
So you're not talking about sonically? Because sonically, I just think Machiavelli's just a way better album. And I think that album goes whether Pac passes or not.
It's my, no.
I mean, Bomb First, Hail Mary, no, Live and Die in
it's
L.A.
It's my favorite Pac album, but again, following the album, I don't think we hear it the same way. I think when somebody passes away, we take their music differently. We start to accept certain things. It has an ominous feel. Things start to happen. And I think in Pac's situation, him passing away made us feel a lot different about what we heard.
But wasn't that the point of that album, though? Wasn't he coming out through the alias Machiavelli?
Yeah, which it made even crazier.
So you said Snoop, I'm confused. You saying the Dogfather album is on the same as the Machiavelli album?
Yes. I said the only difference is Tupac passed away, so it set a marketing landscape for how we receive it.
I disagree with that.
Nah.
Because that album, Machiavelli album, and you said it's
my favorite
fantastic
Tupac
album. That's what I'm saying.
But it's part of him passing away because of the ominous feel of the record.
So what records did you like on the Snoop Dogg album?
Dogfather.
I liked about...
The Dogfather, man. My bad.
So, I mean, I like Pooh's production.
You know what I mean? DJ Pooh?
Yeah, Pooh did a lot of it. So I pretty much liked about 3 or 4 or 5 songs. But again, I like every song on Machiavelli because it just, maybe if he's alive and he dissing Nas now, it's different. Him dissing Nas in depth, it's like, damn,
well,
he
did diss him when he was alive.
No, I mean on the records.
Yeah.
I'm saying like if he's dissing Jay-Z, if he's dissing Nas, if he's dissing Dr. Dre and he's breathing air, maybe, again, right now we just talking about somebody sucking dick and everybody looking at me crazy.
You think they shouldn't have put the album out, is what you're saying?
No, I think they did the right thing by putting the album out. I'm just saying, I think they're the same type of follow-up to those albums. Doggy Style and Dogfather, I think Dogfather got a lot of unwarranted criticism because of where everything was at that time. I think DJ Pooh being there, it didn't get enough credit because it wasn't Dr. Dre leaving. And I think Pac passed away, so it created a different space for us to hear the music.
Yeah, I think To Live and Die in L.A., and you correct me if I'm wrong, this is because I'm on the outside looking in. To me, that is the When I think L.A., I think To Live and Die in L.A. To me, that is the quintessential West Coast record.
In Los Angeles?
Like, if I landed at the airport, I would want to hear The Live and Die in L.A. playing.
You know what? That's funny.
Over California Love.
Because I could understand that from somebody that's from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
In town, probably not, but out of town. I mean, to us, like, we'll probably think about Shook Ones or Cream like that. But I'm sure in New York, it's a completely different vibe.
Nah, Shook Ones or Cream, but most people would think Empire State, Jay-Z and Alicia Keys.
Most people
think that when they come to New York, they're thinking Empire State.
But
us hip hop heads, I would think of PSA, Jay Z. Sure. I would think of Shook Ones. Sure. I would think of, records like that.
That's a great point. Because I don't think nobody in New York would think of Empire State of Mind as the record that you would think that's similar. But then we was crazy because we was chilling because there was a horse and carriage playing, and it was like, oh, this feels like New York. But I guess I never thought about it because
that's a touristy type of song. But here, we gonna play PSA, Allow Me to Reintroduce Myself, Shook Ones. Like, that's New York.
But it's hard to say that's a touristy song when a poster child for New York made it to be a New York anthem. Yeah. Like, Empire State of Mind is doing exactly what Jay-Z wrote it to do.
Of course.
Yeah.
For sporting events and touristy stuff. But
I think he made it for everybody to see New York from a wide perspective.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Versus giving off raw New York vibes where it's like I said, Cream. When I think of New York, I think of Cream, or I think of, I guess because I've been here too, so you see certain parts of certain boroughs, you're like, oh, it's rougher.
Mm-hmm.
And Empire State of Mind is so clean. But it does fit. For us, I guess, inside, probably something like I Love It.
I Love It. What's I Love It?
Eastsiders.
Mm. Oh, okay.
That's a super inside of L.A. song. I guess that would be like our Shook Ones. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's I Love It, the way the homies come, the Snoop Dogg group, the Eastsiders. Mm-hmm. Him and Trady and Goldie, Inside L.A., Sugar Free. I'd rather give you my bitch. Mm. That's a super Los Angeles. You come into Los Angeles, I don't think nobody outside of Los Angeles really know about it, but inside of Los Angeles, that shit sets everything off.
Mm. Mm.
So it's pretty fucking dope.
When we talk about L.A., is there anything that can be done to make the streets safer? Because when you think about, losing the great Nipsey Hussle, losing PNB Rock, is there a way to make the streets safer, I guess, in particular for rappers?
Pop Smoke.
I mean, just people poor. I don't know. So many of these situations is just crazy. Like, when we talked about what happened with PNB Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you've been to L.A. enough. I don't think either one of y'all been over there. Mm-hmm. I don't think either. Mm-hmm. Y'all been to Roscoe's, I'm sure, multiple times. Neither one of y'all been to that Roscoe's.
I was over there recently, but I wasn't stopping over there, though.
Right? So that's like the locals, Roscoe's. And it's like a place that look really poor. That's on the east side. This is my side of town. This is the Roscoe's I go to. I've been going there my whole life. And I don't think that's the kind of place where you jump out. So I don't know if there's something that can be done except just making smarter decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't go to no ghetto with what looks like $200,000 or $300,000 worth of jewelry on. I just think that's a bad idea.
I agree.
You know what I mean? Why would you go around poor people? You're supposed to look like an opportunity. You know, you're supposed to look like you can give an opportunity, not look like an opportunity.
Mm.
And I think a lot of times rappers, it's a weird space. I think hip-hop takes a lot of blame for a lot of shit, but I think the one thing that they have really elevated is flossing on poor people. Hip-hop used to be the voice of poor people. Now it's about people telling other people how poor they is. You know what I mean?
Or I'm going to take your woman because you too poor to have her.
Broke niggas, me and broke niggas don't get along. It's just like, God damn, all your partners is broke. Like, you and your friends don't get along? So again, I think hip-hop is, and I think rappers are kind of flossing on poor people. And poor, they got to remember poor people following them. People who don't got a bunch of stuff. If you look on my page, you ain't seeing shit I got. You know what I'm saying? Because I know people that support me, they don't have what I have, so why would I go to any ghetto with just all this jewelry on?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just think that's a bad idea. So I don't. What needs to be done is rappers got to kind of realize maybe the goal is not to floss on poor people. I mean, I think rappers got to make their own adjustments. I don't think it's nothing that can be done amongst. I think we blame poor people for enough shit.
Mm-hmm.
So
what about somebody like Nip who was providing opportunity for people?
Yeah. That situation is really nuanced. Like, we talked about that. It's a really weird situation between two people from, the same community in so many words. And it's like, it's a situation that went bad. You know what I mean? And it's so much stuff that we don't know about it. Even me being from right down the street and this being my friend, so many things that I still am learning every day about the dynamics of it. Death just come with life, and it ain't no getting away. And the solution ain't always getting away from poor people. That's not going to cause you to die. It's just, you know, we can die. That's the point of it. Mm-hmm. We can die. You know what I mean? And I think it's more important that we stay around poor people and providing opportunities and helping people get, you know, to better their life. That's the only solution. More opportunities for livable wages for poor people. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about that too. Hip hop is America's last hope.
Explain.
What do you mean?
Just culturally what we represent. That, like I'm saying, accountability, making sure a square is still a square. Like the fact that right now I'm telling y'all, you know, this lady is probably not the kind of lady you should marry, because in the everyday world, it's just losing morals every day. It's just more things are becoming acceptable for no reason, just for some false sense of inclusion. And that's just not real.
But hip hop, and I love hip hop, so I don't take this the wrong way, sure. But hip hop can normalize a lot of bullshit too. We have normalized a lot of bullshit.
But have we really normalized a lot of bullshit that wasn't normal in our communities already?
Yes.
Like what?
I think that we've celebrated a lot of, like we've celebrated the drug culture. Like we've glorified the gang culture. I think a lot of times people did those things out of survival, especially hustling. So but it turned into a thing people did out of survival that people never spoke about to
coming cool.
Making records about it. Like everybody wanna be a dope boy, a trap boy now.
I mean, is that really the ghetto? I mean, what year did Scarface come out?
I don't know. What, the 70 something?
What year did God?
Seemed like it got worse though.
No, it just became something apparent to us. Like we take the burden, we take the blame as far as the ghetto, street urban culture, hip hop takes the blame for everything. America's been celebrating this shit.
Absolutely, but if we know better, shouldn't we do better? Like if we know these things only lead a lot of our people to jail, lead a lot of our people dead, shouldn't we come up with something else?
Well, I think we, as far as hip hop, we also don't do the best job for the people at the lowest parts of our community neither. While I do agree that there is some responsibility, it's more about the elite. It's more about the top. It ain't really about the bottom. The bottom is going to be the bottom because it's, you know, motherfuckers don't know. Mm-hmm. They ignorant. They don't have the information. So it's about us at the top, right? It's about the Jay-Z's, it's about Envy, it's about the people at the top doing right by poor people. And you can't ask poor people to make better decisions. You poor. Everything you do is by necessity.
So I agree with that, but to what we were talking about earlier, man, when you go down to that bottom, that's when you get real morals. That's when you get real principles. People that may not have a dollar, but they still got an integrity about themselves. Sometimes people at the top with all that money don't have that integrity.
Well, they got the same integrity. Because the same person is going to sell drugs, right? The wealthiest person in Big Pharma and the poorest person is going to sell dope. Mm-hmm. Same mentality. So I think it's about the job we do by other poor people within hip-hop. That's the only place we fell in that, in my mind. We don't do a really... Ghetto people that succeed don't do the best job by people that's not succeeding. It's always kind of like, oh, you figure it out. Mm-hmm. Like, that's why we started the New West at that time. It was like, it's way too much. Y'all figure it out versus, hey, man, this is how you do it. You in the door now. Let me show you how to do it.
It was you. It was Kendrick. It was Nip. Mm-hmm. Who else? Bishop Lamont.
Yep. J-Rock. Bishop, Mike Stroh. So that hip-hop has to do a much better job of that. Like, the people that are successful got to come grab people that ain't successful. That's the whole premise. That's why it works so well. Mm-hmm. So I think, I don't blame us for... I don't think we normalize drug dealing. I think drug dealing is normal in our ghettos.
We definitely put a soundtrack to it.
Yeah, because we supposed to.
We made it cool.
Well, it's not. It was cool because it was cool because it was success in the community.
I don't know if it's ever been cool. It has. That's why only a select few did it.
No, I think but a lot of people talked about it and act like they did. Like even we talked about this morning on yesterday's show, we talked about Michael Irvin and his son, and Michael Irvin was like, my son is not that street dude.
Yeah.
But his son was rapping like a street dude because
he sees it working.
He probably sees it working.
Yeah.
But he was like, Michael Irvin was like, my son grew up in a gated community. There's no street in him.
Well, we had this conversation a million times before. I think that's the problem when everybody's trying to jump on the wave that poor people have to kind of create a way out for themselves. If you're a middle class person and you on the next track to be Michael Irvin's son and maybe go coach a football team, why the fuck is you doing rap? You know what I mean? You just want, but that's another
because
thing.
Because Glasses Malone told me I'm not a man if I'm not in the street.
No, Glasses Malone told you the streets made him a man. Mm. Michael Irvin made cuz a man. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, nigga, your wealthy existence was the platform that...
So that proves you don't have to be street or necessarily religious to instill morals in a person.
Well, I don't know, because Mike Irvin's saying he don't got morals right now. He's like, man, I don't know what's
going on.
That's
not a lack of morals. That's just like you pretending to be something you're not.
That's a lack of morals.
He ain't committing the crime. He just rapping about it.
That should be a crime. You just lying and shit like you just street and thugging. You
know how many rappers would be locked up?
Man.
Let's talk to it. Let's talk about it. Now it's a motherfucking interview.
But it's the truth. How many rappers that lied? I mean, a lot of rappers say they done killed this person, shot this person, bang, bang, but a lot of it is not true. You know
I hope not.
Gee, you know it.
I hope not.
It's not true.
I hope everybody, I was just telling them the other day, we was talking about Drake. We was talking about your boy, right? So he was like, the whole shit was Joe. And my whole point with Joe was like, how do you talk about Drake's music? This is what Drake do. If you're not a fan of Drake music, you're not a fan of the current wave of whatever's going on.
Correct.
Oh, I saw you do that. Whose podcast was you on? I saw that.
Back on Fig.
Back on Fig.
So yep. I'm telling them, and my nigga was like, yeah, well, you know, what about him talking street? I'm like, well, Drake talked like he was making threats in the chat. And I'm like, I don't want to find out. I don't want to be the nigga to find out that he'll spend some money. So my whole attitude is like, do I think the man out there thugging? Probably not. But you know what? Hip hop might influence you to do some dumb ass shit. So if he trick his shit off playing around with the low level, then let's see.
Oh, he got people around him that could be about that life who tired of people playing with
their money.
Man.
Yeah,
they not. They ain't tired of people playing. They want to try to get some money.
I don't know. Either.
I don't know, but they got
to. I thought what you said was true, though. It was just like, yo, if you. To not like this Drake album is kind of hypocritical because it's the same music that he's... That's what I say. It's the same music he's been making.
Whatever the current, he's the best at, like Madonna. That's another... Everybody got mad when I kept comparing him to Madonna. And it's like, Madonna used to do the same thing with music. She would take whatever the current wave of music and make a Madonna song. Mm-hmm. Drake does the same thing right now. So if you can't really dislike Drake's music. It's like you can't really dislike McDonald's. You could talk about it's unhealthy. You can make a lot of ridiculous arguments. You can be like, I'm not in the mood for it. I want better. But come on, man. It's like, Drake shit is like a Happy Meal. It's kind of hard to kind of really hate on. You just kind of be like, I ain't eating that shit today.
Well, you could say, yeah. Like, I think some people say, I want more rapping. Some people could say, I want more of this type of song. But like you said, you can't hate this. It's Drake.
Yeah, but who would even want more from Drake? Like, it's like wanting more from McDonald's. Like, I want McDonald's to sell steaks. Mm-hmm. That's just not what Drake does. Drake has done the same consistent thing this whole time. Whatever the current wave or whatever's going on, he makes that, and he's going to make it the best it could be made out of mass consumption. Mm-hmm. That's my point. So I think it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
Cancel These Nuts is out right now from my guy Glasses Malone, man.
That's right.
Check this out.
Make sure you subscribe to the No Ceilings podcast on the Black Spec iHeartRadio Podcast Network.
That's another thing. Like, my motherfucking podcast is really good.
It's pretty good at this point. It's all this.
Yeah. And don't go, you can stream my shit, go to thecriptstore.com and buy it.
Okay.
The Cript Store.
thecriptstore.com.
What if I'm a blood?
The Cript, I got blood on me. They can shop with the Crips.
Just making sure, I used to sell them.
When I used to sell drugs, I would sell them drugs, they would make money off my drugs, so they could buy my music, thecriptstore.com.
Cripstore.com, man, go get Cancel These Nuts from my guy, Glasses.
Shout out
Malone.
To my boy Brasco, man. Thecriptstore.com gave me my idea, too, for the Crypt Store.
Who?
My boy Brasco.
Who's Brasco?
One of my partners from out of Memphis. He was like, man, you got to be more of a Crip. I was like, man, you're right. I got to be a Crip more out loud.
What? Gee.
Yeah.
Gee, yeah. What?
No, for real, because it matters. Mac 10 and Mud, everybody would hit me like, hey, you cripping too hard. I'm like, nah, just enough.
All right, well, it's Glasses Malone. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up.
Early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.